Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all to Web Sleuths Radio. My name is Tricia Griffith. I also have Bessie, our administrator extraordinaire, on hand to do as what I call the heavy lifting of the show. And I do appreciate everybody keeping here with us tonight. It is going to be a very fascinating show. A little bit later on, we're going to have Mark Klass on. He's going to check in and tell us what's been happening in the Sierra Lamar trial, not the trial for her killer, that is. But first up, there's a book out there that I would recommend to everyone. It's by Patrick McStay, and it's called McStay's Gone Too Soon. Now, Patrick's son, Joseph, his wife, Summer, their two kids, they were last heard from on February 4th, 2010. The story that follows is just crushes your heart. It is so tragic. It's a tale of law enforcement mistakes and a father slash grandfather's anger at trying to get to the truth and then trying to get law enforcement to listen. The trial for the man arrested for killing this beautiful family is still coming up. And I'd like to welcome to Blog Talk Radio and Web Sleuths Radio right now, Mr. Patrick McStay. Patrick, thank you for joining us today on this Valentine's Day. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Trish. I appreciate it. I appreciate everything Web Sleuth and you have done and are doing to get the truth out.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to start here at the end. Chase Merritt is going on trial for the murder of your family. And that trial is going to be in California. You live in Texas. And I just want to put it out there. If anybody has any airline miles, and this is me asking, Patrick doesn't even know I'm going to say this. If anybody has any airline miles or they know of a hotel or a house that perhaps Patrick can use and his family to go down, because it's going to cost him thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to go to, I believe it's in San Diego, to go to San Diego to attend the trial of Chase Merritt.
San Bernardino.
When is the trial? San Bernardino. When
it's
is
San
the
Bernardino
trial?
And we don't know yet. We still don't know. We've got a hearing this month, the 23rd. It's another pretrial hearing where they're going through the motions of the filings of subpoenas and warrants by right now by the defense and everything else, and they're trying to work through it. Now, hopefully the 23rd, we may get a date set for the trial. I don't know. Now, I've heard both ways that the trial that's going on now out there, the Judge Smith, who is our judge, the case that he is on is that corruption trial in California with the politicians, and they say that that's a six-month trial. It started about a month ago, so that would push us into the summer if that's true. But then I've also heard that that won't interfere with us, but I don't know how it won't when the defense counsels for Merritt in this case are the lawyers involved in that case. And the judge is the judge on the case, so, and they're saying a six-month trial. So, I mean, that means we may not get to court till this summer.
Oh, that just must be so incredibly frustrating. Okay, well, so anyway, I just want to plant that seed out there. If anybody has any, like I said, frequent flyer miles, you can donate those. Perhaps you know somebody that has a rental home that maybe – Patrick and his wife can use. Just contact me and we'll put you in touch with Patrick. Again, Patrick had no idea I was going to say that. This is just me asking for Patrick. I hope you don't mind, Patrick, but I know we have so many people out there that...
It would just be me because I'm not married.
Oh, you know, I don't know why I thought you were married. Oh, okay. Well, then let's go on a date.
Who knows?
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. Okay, Patrick, I have this book in front of me, and it has a beautiful picture of your family, of Joey, of Joseph, Joey, Summer, and Gianni. And it is it's so tragic to think about what eventually happened to them. Why did you write this book?
I wrote that because, as everyone knows, there was so much false information out there. There are so many lies and so many people making up different blogs and different sites, and they were lying through their teeth and making up things and making up, accusing Michael, my youngest son, of being involved in murdering his brother and family. And I just said, that's it, and then lying about what Joey, they tried to bring up stuff about drugs and this and that. And I just said, that's it. I want people to know Joey, Summer, the boys, and know some about the family. So, I wrote a little about Mike and just a little history and background so people could see the real true story and facts.
Let's talk about start from the beginning, from that day in February. If I understand correctly, it looked like the family just picked up and left on February 4th, 2010. There were some groceries that weren't put away. There were no clothes packed. They were just gone. Now, the sheriff's office, I believe it was the sheriff's office, told you that they were pretty sure that Joseph and his wife and kids had crossed the border to Mexico. Is that correct?
Yeah, they never came out and said that in the onset. Detective Dugal, who was the lead detective in the case, Troy Dugal, never said that to me at all. Matter of fact, the last time I spoke with him was probably in January of 2011, almost a year after they were gone. Probably January or February. And at that point, he had still never actually said to me anything about them leaving on their own. The only person that I had ever heard anything from, I didn't hear it, I saw it and read it, was Lieutenant Brugos, who was the lieutenant in charge over Troy Dugal. And the first time I saw that was when he wrote in the gave that information in the interview to I believe it was Terry Figueroa with North County Times at the time. On the 19th, the day they served the warrants at the house, he stood outside and said that there's nothing illegal about adults leaving on their own.
And didn't they say they had a tape of the family crossing? Did you ever see that tape?
Yes, they did. They had the in early March, about the first week of March, somewhere around the first or so, they came up with this video that showed a man and a woman crossing the border into Mexico at 7 o'clock at night on the 8th of February, and the man is walking with one child, and the woman is walking with another. There, and the man and woman are walking one in front of the other with the children. You see them from the rear, from like where you would be to like the right of them, and you're elevated up in the air, and you're looking down at them, and the lights are shining towards you or towards them, and you're seeing more of a silhouette of them than actually seeing them, and you cannot see faces. You cannot make out the clothing, or coloring or anything. It's a black and white, and it's kind of grainy and fuzzy. Well, it's not fuzzy, but it's shadowy because the lights are reflecting. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the only picture you see. That's the only film, and it's only for seconds that you see going along there. What bothered me about that was, first off, I knew it wasn't them. The minute I saw it, I knew it wasn't them. And I told Dugal that. The thing that really bothered me is we went down there after that. I didn't go down. We had somebody go down there. They took pictures of the border right where this happened, and the cameras that picked them up, the actual cameras, and other cameras in there, and there's at least 6, 8, or 10 other cameras right all along that walkway area there.
Right.
And they come from all angles. You could see the front, you could see the but they only had one video from one camera, this one camera that showed that you couldn't really see anything. All the other cameras would have caught them straight on, face on, sideways, and closer to them, you never see. Now, what happened to the video? All that video?
Oh, yeah, where is that was video? Down,
yeah.
There should have been more video, of course.
Sure.
Now,
yeah, if you got one, you've got the others.
Bessie, I'm going to turn it over to you for a moment because I know you have followed this case. You have lived and breathed the McStay case. So, Bessie, go ahead.
No, well, I was going to mention that, you know, one of the reasons that I think that the police, you know, put the picture together with the timing of the car, the SUV being spotted, which was around, I believe, 5 o'clock that same day, right, that they said that they noticed the car. And then, you know, a couple of hours later, there's this video of this family crossing the border. So it seemed to, you know, jive. The time seemed to jive. But then what was the discrepancy? I'm a little, can't quite remember about that nobody was sure just how long the vehicle had been there. Isn't that correct, Patrick?
Yeah. What happened was, they said that they saw the car there at approximately 5 or 5:30 that evening.
Yeah.
And then we had just this one video and everything. And my question right off the bat, that after I started thinking about this, was, well, if you saw the car at 5 or 5:30, where were they for an hour and a half between 5:30 and 7 o'clock when this video was taken? With two little boys, you mean to tell me these boys didn't have to go to the bathroom, they weren't hungry, they weren't cranky, and nobody noticed them or saw them? And where were they for an hour and a half if that's them in the video?
Yeah.
That's why I felt, no, there's no way. That was another reason I felt it was definitely not them.
And then also, we don't know for sure, you know, if the car actually appeared there at that time, or had it been there, it could have been there all weekend, and the parking attendants didn't pay attention to it. It just so
happened.
Well,
here's the problem I had with that. I had two different reports on that thing, okay, two different times. Okay, I was told two different things. One of the things that got me was, the first thing I heard was, well, that the mall guards had found the car at 5:30, and when they did, they checked out the hood, and the hood was cool.
Yeah.
Then
right.
The next thing I heard was the hood was warm. In the next, you know, interview with them or something. Now my thought if the hood was cool, then it didn't arrive at 5:30.
Right.
If it was warm, then it might have arrived at 5:30.
Correct.
So there were two different conflicting reports of what they said, of what these guards actually said.
Sure.
And then I started
that
bothered me. Yeah.
Sure.
So that made me believe that the car never arrived there on the 8th at 5:30. I'm more like you. I thought it got there either earlier, or it could have been even parked there, you know, a day or two before.
Right.
Let me just remind everybody, in case somebody is not familiar with the McStay case, we're talking with Patrick McStay, and Patrick's son, Joseph, his wife, Summer, and their two grandchildren were, murdered by Chase Merritt, who was going to be going on trial maybe as late as this summer. Their bodies were found after being missing for more than 3 years in a shallow grave. In between that time, Patrick McStay had to deal with horrible internet rumors, people wanting to cash in on the missing story of this family, making up stories, writing books. It was just terrible. And Patrick McStay, I admire you so much because you just kept on it. You were not going to be silenced. You were going to get to the truth, and that's all there was to it. So we're going to talk about tonight. You've written a book called McStay's Taken Too Soon. This is a true story. And Bessie, our administrator, has literally been in this story from the beginning, and I don't know anybody next to you, Patrick, that knows as much about the case as Bessie does. So now, here, this is what law enforcement is now saying. Okay, look, that we saw these people cross the border. It was your family, even though now we find out there were other cameras that could have, you know, taken direct pictures of them. Where is that film? We don't know. So let's start from there. And Bessie, if you have something you want to ask, please just jump in, okay? So now they've told you that they think your family, Patrick, has gone across the border. What happens next?
Well, not well. About the only thing that was really going on at that time is between that I was involved with was with Dugan. And I was talking to him every day or every other day or emailing back and forth. And I was trying to, and we were trying to work out the finances because they didn't have access to his bank accounts or whatever. The only thing they had was, which they did have or had access to, were the his monthly bank statements and any, you know, thing that was sent to the house. I had access to the PayPal records. Well, not all of the records, but some of the things that were going on in withdrawals, they didn't have. And so Dugal was out there telling everybody that everything on the 4th stopped. All their financials, credit cards, you know, checking accounts, everything stopped. Nothing was used or anything. Well, I don't, now that I look back over this, I don't know whether he was saying this to mislead people or whatever. But I was saying to him, no, that's not true. There's checks being written on the account. You know, right. I mean, there are actually PayPal withdrawals. And I said, but I didn't have the bank. Now, he knew that those withdrawals were made because in the discussions between him and I, he had admitted, you know, he told me. Because I knew when I pointed him out, so he verified it. But he didn't come right out and tell me, you know, in the beginning. But once I threw them to him and pointed them out to him that I had the PayPal records, he couldn't deny it. And the way that he would have known was because he had the bank statements. And so when the PayPal withdrawal was made, it would be drawn through PayPal right to Joey's bank. So it would be on his bank statements, on his monthly bank statements. But they didn't know where the money went. They only knew that it went to PayPal. I had the PayPal records showing who the money went to.
Right.
And so that's when I told him, and he says to me, God, well, can you send those to me? And I said, well, sure. And so I sent him all that stuff. And that's where we were at the first.
Who did the money go to?
It went to Dan Kavanaugh. It went to Dan. Yeah. Some of it went to Dan Kavanaugh. The bulk
of
it went to Dan Kavanaugh, over $20,000.
Yeah. Who's Dan Kavanaugh?
Dan Kavanaugh was the webmaster, the man that set up and took care of Joey's website to see that it maintained, you know, a high position when you went on and Googled, you know, fountains, it would come up
right.
There with inspired products.
Joey had a very successful fountain business, doing beautiful fountains for people that ordered them. And this is one of the weird things, I think, Patrick, that people latched onto. Dan Kavanaugh was taking this money, and nobody knew that Joey and his family were dead yet. Why was he taking this money? That seems very fishy and suspicious. Do you know why?
Well, we don't know, and I don't know. I mean, I asked Dugal, and I mean, I more than asked. I was livid with him with this stuff, and I'm like, well, why aren't you subpoenaing his bank records? Why aren't you prosecuting this person or at least hauling this person in as a person of interest? Because you've got the right to do it. He's taking money illegally, And he's embezzling, or it's bank fraud, whichever way you want to look at it. And he's like, well, he has the passwords and he has the ID and the passwords. There's no crime.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me if I get somebody's ID and password, I can go into their bank account and just take all the money I want, and there's nothing you can do about it because I have the ID and password. Whether they gave it to me or not, I've got it. So you say because I've got it and I do it that way that there's no crime. And I just couldn't believe the guy.
Well, and the other unusual thing about the PayPal withdrawals was, and if I'm correct about this, up until I think it was February 5th or 6th, Dan was not taking any money from PayPal. He was
He got money through PayPal, but Joey sent it to him.
Joey sent it.
And that was right. He never took anything out because he never had any authority to. Now, he tried to claim that he was a manager and a silent partner and all this and that, and he was never a partner in squat. He was never a manager of anything. He was a subcontractor. He wasn't employed by Joey. He had his own business or whatever. He was like a subcontractor.
Right.
You know,
so
he was responsible for
Kavanaugh,
some taxes and everything. So he would have no authority to take anything.
No.
How would he know to take it out? Oh, go ahead, Betsy.
Well, no, you're right. If, you know, like on the either 5th or 6th, I mean, nobody even knew at that time that Joey was missing. And up until then, Joey was sending him 150 here, or I think it averaged to around 200 a month. And I believe Joey had skipped a month, and he may have owed, you know, he may have been due for payment that week. But why did he just take it upon himself to say, oh, well, Joey didn't send me my money, so now I'm going to take out whatever it was, like $2,000 or something, I think was the first transaction, where Joey had been sending him, you know, small amounts of money previously. That is the one thing that just drives me crazy. I want an answer for that. You know, what possessed him? Why did he think he could do that?
Let's go a little farther. If you went back a year prior to 2009, in January, he and Dan had a big falling out. Dan and Joey are going back and forth on instant messaging. And Dan's threatening to take Joey's livelihood away, that he's going to shut down the website, and there's nothing Joey can do, and this and that, and he wants this or that. And finally, what it all came down to, which nobody knew, which I knew from talking to Joey, and also another close friend of Joey's knew, and we got together and put our heads together. And in the summer of 2009, Dan Kavanaugh was more or less bought out, but not bought out. He was paid off, and he was leaving. Joey was paying him off to shut him up and get him away from the whole thing.
Right.
And he was to have nothing to do with the IP. So Joey paid him. I'm trying to remember what the total figure was, but it was like, we even got a copy of one of the checks, the final check that Joey had given to Kavanaugh to pay him off. And then on top of that, Joey gave Kavanaugh a 1994 BMW that he had
as part of it.
And this was well known by other people that Kavanaugh was paid off and he was done and he had nothing to do with it. Well, then Kavanaugh in the summer or fall of 2009 starts his own company, Bottom Company, called Nexus.
Yeah.
And then he has the nerve to want Joey to partner in on that with him. And he's asking Joey for help. Well, Joey, in order to keep the friendship and to keep him, you know, Dan happy, agrees to be his partner in Nexus. But not in EIP, and Dan has nothing to do with EIP. So Dan's now competing against Joey in a sense.
So let me stop you for just a second. May I stop you? What is EIP? I just want to make sure that. Okay, I just want to make sure everybody is following along here. Okay, so that's the name of the business.
That's Earth Inspired Products, Joey's company.
Got it. Okay.
EIP.
Joey's company. Okay.
Now let me give you a background on EIP. Let me give you a background on EIP so everybody knows. You got all this stuff going on about Dan Kavanaugh claiming he's a partner and a manager or whatever in EIP. EIP was in Joey's name solely until 2005. Okay, mm-hmm. It was conceived prior to 2005, but it didn't have a website or anything. And he was selling fountains, pre-made fountains a little here and there. 2005, I go to California in March, and I spend about 6 weeks out there with Joey. It was a bad time for Joey. He was going through a bankruptcy. He had gone through a bankruptcy and everything else. And so I'm out there, and he wants to get this thing going. I meet Dan Kavanaugh, who Joey has met through friends, and they want to, put together a website. So he and Dan are going to work together to put together a website, because Dan designs them. That's what he does. And he's doing it for Joey. So Joey and I go down to Orange County, and we register EIP as a partnership. Mm-hmm. And the partnership is Joey and myself, me. We register everything. We put the ads in the paper. We do everything.
Right.
Okay. Now, Joey's had a bankruptcy. Okay. So he's got no financial, ability to a degree, So what I do is I go to the bank there and I open a bank account. And I apply for ATM cards and all that stuff. We get all that. I transfer money into the account. And we start that, then we take we need to have credit cards, merchant accounts, so we can take credit card payments. So we register with the merchant account in my name, okay? And then after we've been up a couple months, I apply for a credit limit with the bank under my name, naturally, because the account was, under my name. And I had Joey on there as a signer, and Joey had a power of attorney. I gave him a power of attorney to run everything, all financials and everything completely. And then I got a $50,000 credit line, and that's what Joey operated on.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
And that's how it worked. Then later, a year or two later, once it was up and running and Joey was back on his feet and he was listed on everything, so it was helping his credit. So once his credit got up to a point, then we changed the EIP back into solely Joey, into a sole proprietorship.
Okay.
That's how it worked.
So that's how that all came about.
Right. So Dan was never a partner in anything. The only partner that EIP ever had was me with my son.
Right.
So when Dan took this money, go ahead, Bessie, go ahead. You had a thought. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you go ahead. I was just agreeing.
So Dan takes this money. Before we even realize that Joey and his family are missing, he just goes in and starts taking this money. To this day.
On the 6th of February. On the 6th of February.
And the last we heard from Joey was the 4th. So do we have, to this day, do we have any idea? Was he connected with Chase Merritt? Was he psychic and knew he could get away with it? That just drives me nuts. What do we know?
I don't know I don't know the full story between Chase and Dan. All I do know is they didn't like each other. Now that much I know from Joey and from things that went on, but whether that's true or how much of it, I don't know. But so I don't know. The only thing I do know is that once they were determined to be gone, and after the 19th, so somewhere after the 19th of February when they warrants were served in that. There was a meeting with Chase and Dan and Susan, Joey's mother, and Michael, my son, and a friend of Michael's, and they all met, and they were putting together how they were going to run the company and continue the company, and, you know, ship some of the funds. I guess they were saying their orders they said were still coming in quite frequently. I mean, they were getting a lot of orders, and so they were going to try and keep the business going, and
and that part all makes sense. Yes, I mean that makes sense from those, like, the second transactions and forward. You know, it makes sense. I know some of it went to Chase supposedly for materials, and that makes sense. It's that first transaction from Dan Kavanaugh that is just, like I said, it just boggles my mind, and I can't, you know, I would love an explanation. Another thing I'd like to ask, I believe it was in December 2009, there was one PayPal payment with a memo that said, maybe it was 2008, but Joey said, like, payoff in the memo. Like, he was finished paying off Dan.
That was the payoff to Dan, and I was telling you about that was the payoff to Dan. That was the final payoff to Dan.
But then after that, weren't there payments? No, there were. There were some small payments. Do you know what those payments were for?
Dan was still, at that time, even though he was not connected to DIP, he was still helping to maintain the website. So Joey was still paying him for that.
Gotcha.
And that's what those payments were. And you would see Dan saying, Joey, I'm a little short. I need $75. Joey, I got my rent payment coming up, you know.
Right. Because I made a schedule of all those payments, and it was like, I could see where they averaged to around 200, maybe 250 a month or something, and little drips and drabs here and there. And I never did understand why he had continued to pay him. But now what you're saying
Let me tell you something about him, Bessie, about Joey, okay? Joey was...
I know what you're going to
say. Joey was non-confrontational. He was non-confrontational, okay? He didn't like arguing, fighting, or whatever.
Right.
So he had enough money, and the business was going great. He was doing, tremendously well. So his deal would be like, oh, give him 100, give him 500, give him 50, whatever. Just keep him quiet. Shut him up.
Yeah.
So he doesn't bother me.
Right. And that makes
sense. And that's more or less what Joey was.
Yeah.
That's what Joey was doing.
I can see where Joey was that kind of person, just, you know, too good for his own health and safety.
He was. And see, the problem was, you got to remember, not only was that happening and Dan asking for money, but now Joey was supposed to be his partner in Nexus or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so Dan's naturally saying, Joey, I need money for this. It's not selling good or what. You know what it is. And he would use every excuse in the book. Look, I know Kavanaugh. I met him a number of times, okay? He's a con.
In my opinion,
he's an flat con. You know, he's a... He's what I would call, he's one of those guys that he's a real fast talker, but let me put it to you this way, he is brilliant when it comes to computers.
He's
absolutely a genius when it comes to that. I will not fault him on that a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, he's a con. You know, and he's the guy that runs his mouth, you know, gets himself in trouble, and when somebody threatens to kick his butt, you know, he's a whimpering little boy. You know the type. You met him.
Oh, yeah. Boy, do we know the type. Okay, so let's go from those few days, and now you discover that Joseph and Summer and the two adorable grandchildren, your grandchildren, are missing. the police, law enforcement are saying, well, we're pretty sure they crossed the border here. And you, Patrick McStay, pretty much had to become a detective on your own, because this case just went up like wildfire on the internet. And you tried, I remember, tried to answer some of these people, and it just, the trolls, you tried so hard to get the truth out and to be honest, and the trolls just went crazy. It was nuts. So what, tell us about your journey when you realized, no, they didn't cross into the border. Your mind must have just been going 8,000 different directions, not knowing where to turn, what to do. Talk about that. Talk about the moment you realized, okay, they didn't cross the border. Now what?
Well, I going back to when I first found out about and knew something was wrong was the 9th of February when I was here at the house, and I had tried to call Joey over the weekend several times, and I was getting no answer. Well, at first that didn't bother me because Joey was known to at times would do what I call take a cell phone holiday. You know, he more or less wouldn't answer the phone, and it didn't matter who it was. It could be me, it could be his mother, it could be, you know, whoever.
And he just, anybody,
he's not going to be bothered with it. You know, he's not going to answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's going to take a break. So I thought, well, maybe he's in one of those, you know, in a funk. You know, he just doesn't want to talk to me or anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So then Monday, let's see, I'm trying to think, the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. No, Tuesday. It was Tuesday. I get this, I don't remember which one came first. Believe it was the email. I get an email that pops up in my email, D. Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't strike me as Dan Kavanaugh because I didn't know Dan's last name at the time. I only knew him as Dan the Hacker. Because that's what we call him. That was his
Dan
nickname.
The Hacker.
Right. So I see this D. Kavanaugh in my email. Well, if I don't know somebody or a company or whatever in my emails, I delete them. I don't even open them, you know, because I don't want to get any viruses or anything. So I just I delete it. See? So about an hour or so later, on my phone rings. I had a house line at that time, landline. So I look on the caller ID as it's ringing, and it says D. Kavanaugh, 619 area. And I'm like, I don't know any D. Kavanaugh. I just got an email. Who is this person? 619, I know that's San Diego, but I don't know anybody out there at D. Kavanaugh, so I'm not going to answer it. So I don't answer it. So a little while later, I call Michael, my son. And I said, Michael, I can't reach your brother. I've been trying to reach him. Have you talked to him, you know, since Friday or so? And he said, no, I haven't talked to him in a while, since last week, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, I'm worried, this and that. Can you go down there? No, Dad, I'm too busy. What's going on? Mike, I'm really worried. Can you go down there and check on your brother? Something's really, I just know something's wrong, Michael. Dad, I'm too busy. I don't have time. And then I go into the thing about this D. Kavanaugh, and he's like, Dad, you know who that is? And I'm like, no, I don't, Michael. He said, Dad, you know who it is. I said, no, I don't. He said, Dad, that's Dan the Hacker. And I said, oh, my God, you're right, Mike. I know who that is. I said, well, can you call him for me, Mike? He's trying to get a hold of me. And you're out there. Can you get a hold of him? He said, yeah, what's the number, Dad? So I start to rattle a number on. He goes, wait a minute, I got his number. I'll call him, don't worry. So, again, I ask him to check on his brother. No, and now I'm really getting furious. But I'm not telling him that. But I'm really hot under the collar. So we get off the phone, and a little while later, he calls me back. Well, I talk to Dan. He can't get a hold of Joe, Dad. The emails are full. His voicemails are full. Or he's not answering emails. His voicemail's full. And that's not like Joe. And I said, yeah, I know that. I've been trying to reach him, too. that's how we found out. I asked Michael then to get a hold of the police or whatever. Needless to say, he didn't do anything until the 15th. So.
Mm-hmm. But in the meantime,
but I knew right then something was wrong. I knew when I talked to Michael
right.
and Calvin all was trying to get me,
yeah.
I knew something was seriously wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, didn't Chase go to the house and to check on him? Is that
well,
true?
Well, Chase claims that he went down there on the 8th to check on him, okay? And on the way down, this is where you get into some problems here. This is all out there in the testimony, in the prelim, and in some at the state, in what Chase said in CNN.
Right.
He says that he went down on the 8th. And on the way down, he went to Susan's house. He stopped by Susan's house.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he tells Susan he's going down to the house. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I found odd is if you match up what he said about going on the 8th and then going by Susan's house and then going on down to Joey's house, it doesn't match up. The time frames don't match up with his cell phone records.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
According to his cell phone records, he was heading north.
Oh, right, right.
When he claims he's going south.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at all this stuff, and things just aren't jiving. Now, this I didn't find out till later. Now, that's one of the later things to find out. But he was supposedly, he had gone down there on the 8th. Kavanaugh was supposedly have called the sheriffs for a welfare check on the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And all this is going on, and nobody knows where they're at, and nobody's doing anything.
Right.
Michael goes to the house on the 13th on Saturday, crawls through the, and Chase meets him down there.
Yeah.
Michael crawls through the window and opens the door, and they look in the house, but then they go out, and then Michael decides to wait till Monday the 15th to call the sheriff.
Because right.
he thinks his brother could be on a vacation. And Valentine's Day was coming up, so you know, he thought during that period.
Yeah,
he thought
the weather was so bad.
Yeah.
The weather was really bad during that time. That's when they had the big storm.
It was cold
and
rainy.
So wasn't quite, you know, wasn't the time to take a vacay.
And I knew Joey wouldn't go into Mexico. There's no way Joey would have gone to Mexico, okay? But he would not have taken his wife and kids. There is no way in God's green earth he would have done that. Because he knew how violent it was down there. And see, Joey used to go from the time back in, early in the 90s or the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, he would go skiing down or surfing down in Mexico. They used to go down there all the time. So he knew all that area. He has a lot of friends down there, and he still wouldn't go down there and hadn't been down there in quite some time. And then, and with his violence, you know, he knew how bad it was now. That's why he wouldn't go down there. Now, he would go across the border to do business in the right there along the border in the Mexican zones, you know, and businesses along there, but he wasn't, because he used to do, and that's where I got confused on some of it, because I thought that he was still buying some materials from a company that he did business with, slate. He used to buy slate for fountains.
Uh-huh.
And I thought he was still buying the slate out of Mexico there across the border. Uh-huh. And that's where, and I had made a comment to somebody, I forget what it was, that Joey was doing business in Mexico.
Yeah, well, I think that was one of the Mexican newspapers. I read that.
Right, but he hadn't done business with them since probably the early 2000s, you know, like 2001 or 2002, when he, maybe even 2000, because that was when he had the other fountain business. See, he had a fountain business before. That one, he had a fountain business called naturally Dana, naturally DP, naturally DP fountains. But now that fountain business was more of your, was your tabletop fountains, like in your home, the smaller ones. You know, I think the biggest one, I think the biggest one was like 18 inches or something like that, 16, 18 inches, something like that was the biggest one.
Let's talk about what happened to you on the internet, because this is a cautionary tale of you trying to do good and the right thing and being just attacked from all different areas. Is there anybody or any incident particular that you would like to talk about on the that happened to you on the internet that you would like maybe to get your side out or to clear anything up?
Well, there was a time where we know the author of a book, a phony book,
yes,
had all these people supposedly on his blog site, and he's going out having people, supposedly he's investigating the case and everything. But now he's attacking me and anybody that's a friend of mine or anybody that's on a site that's befriending me or, you know, whatever. He's attacking everybody. So he gets these people to do things for him. And he gets a woman here in Spring that's, at the time, was I knew when I found out about it, was a teacher. And she's driving by my house and taking pictures of my house and sending them to him, and he's putting them on the internet telling people to go by my house and harass me.
That was so horrible.
That was off. And this
so
was,
then,
here you are. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Please continue.
Yeah, I'm going through all this other stuff, and, I got this.
Yeah.
And then he's not only do they do that, but she then, working with him, says that she went by my house one day and I chased her in a van and pulled her over and was beating on her window.
Oh, please.
Well, first off, that's an absolute lie. I've never owned a van in my life. I don't have access to a van. Nobody in my family has a van. And I would have had to have been at my house and driven out of my house. At that time, I had a Cadillac Coupe de Ville. You know, nowhere near a van.
Right.
So she said, she's telling all these stories, and then the next thing you know, he's got pictures from a barbecue, a softball or a baseball barbecue for kids or whatever, here in Spring area, and he's got these pictures that he's put up on the internet of this guy in a baseball cap and everything at this barbecue that's supposed to be Joey.
Oh.
And Joey's supposed to be right here in Spring under my nose, and I don't even know it. And it's all this teacher who's doing it. Well, I come to find out this teacher's not a teacher. She's a vice principal of a school here in Tomball in the Spring area. And I'm like, I can't. She's got a morals clause in her contract.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I went and talked to my lawyer, and my lawyer was ready to go after her. We decided that he wanted to. He really wanted to. And it wasn't, and he wasn't charging me a nickel. Because he was ticked. Because he knew what was going on. He didn't like it at all. So he was going to, when I gave him the okay, he was going to write the school board. And I just said, no, let's let it drop, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you would have just been the fire. And,
yeah. Oh, but see, Baker, this is Rick Baker. And so Rick Baker even calls, he says, he goes out on his blog and says he called a detective here and filed a complaint against me. With the sheriff here in Harris County.
That is so twisted.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. God.
Yeah. Oh, but that's not what even him. That's just this guy. He did so much it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
And so he's got people. Yeah, and he's the one creating these trolls and putting out all this false information. These people are like I don't know, you know, whether they hate me or whether this is a game to them or, you know, it's fun for them. I don't know. But then they're all attacking me, and then they're attacking Michael. Then they're attacking Susan, my ex-wife, Joey's mother, you know, mm-hmm. and they're attacking Gina. And matter of fact, Gina, who was on the CNN with me, she was. We had talked about her coming on this interview with you and I tonight. And
right.
Gina asked me, you know, said she, if it was I with her, me, she said if I wanted to, she'd do it. But she would mm-hmm. ask me, she asked me if she could beg out of it because she just got so much from trolls harassing her, you know, the last time.
And that's so sad.
You know, and she's got, you know, she's got three kids and a husband and everything else, you know. And I said, Gina, absolutely. I don't want you going through any more of that, you know.
And on another note,
so,
this,
you know, I don't want
yeah,
that happening.
This is a whole other topic, but there does need to be a law or laws that prevent people like Rick Baker from creating that type of havoc in your life. I believed him for years. He finally, I have to almost thank him because he made me realize that I can never trust anybody to tell me something on face value. I need to investigate. And I believed everything he said. Like an idiot. Oh, God, I'm so mortified that I did.
You know, with everything that happened, and then him, I heard him on your show and everything else. I never had an ill will against you or of any kind.
Oh, thank you.
Because I knew what he was. He's a good con. Let me tell you, the guy's a good con. If he ever put his knowledge or his mouth to good use for the right things, mm-hmm. he could make a fortune.
Oh, absolutely.
But he goes the wrong way.
You know, he talked himself right into a big, deep hole when he started about the cartel and the Mexican authority and all that stuff. He talked himself into a hole, and then he had to close his blog, which was a good thing, thank goodness. But
one of the funniest things was he was out there threatening everybody that he's got this lawyer, this famous mm-hmm. internet lawyer, and I forget the guy's name. He's going to sue everybody if you know, this and that. Well, guess what? I tracked down that lawyer. He was in, I think, mm-hmm. like over in Washington, D.C. or Baltimore or something. Anyways, Virginia. So I tracked him down, his law firm down. I called, talked to his secretary. She put me through to him. I talked to the lawyer. He has no clue who Rick Baker is. No idea who Rick Baker is. And he tells me if Rick Baker uses his name one more time for me to let him know, and he'll shut Baker up. So in the meantime, this is going on. Baker doesn't use his name, but goes at it again about this lawyer and everything else. And mm-hmm. then he says again that he just talked to the lawyer. This is months later. He says he just talked to him. So I go call the lawyer's office again to talk to the lawyer. I get a hold of his secretary. I find out he's no longer with the firm because he died. And he had died months prior, and there's no way Baker could have talked to him again.
Yeah,
so
of course
I'm catching Baker and all these lies and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, and it got to be just absolute. I mean, the guy's so far out, it isn't funny.
Right, and everybody, I think, is realizing that. Go ahead, Bessie.
Well, no, I'm remembering where he talked about, you know, he had this investigator down I can't remember if he lived in San Diego or Mexico. I think he was in San Diego, and he had this big house, and mm-hmm. you know, Baker said he went to his house.
Oh, that was in San Diego. Yeah, that was Oceanside, down around Oceanside.
That
was the guy that had the contacts in Mexico. He was a Mexican,
That was... oh my gosh, I just remember.
And he had information on the cartels, and supposedly with
mm-hmm.
Joey involved and all this, and he wanted $11,000 or something, or $10,000, and Baker was going to pay him the money, and Baker flew to California, and he met
mm-hmm.
with the guy and all of that, but then something didn't seem quite right to him, and so he went to a Starbucks and was supposed to told people to meet him at Starbucks if they wanted to meet him and all that stuff. And then he comes back, goes back to North Carolina, and he's thinking about paying the guy, but then the guy gets he's starting to feel funny about it, and then the guy gets arrested.
Oh, that's
by the FBI.
That's right.
Yeah. And then Baker realizes that he's been conned.
Yeah, the con man had been conned. That is amazing.
Yeah.
So Patrick, you're going through
this
living hell. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. But in the meantime, he's out there about all this cartel stuff and all these connections. Supposedly, Joey did the cartel, and this guy had all the information, and he's going to pay money to get it and everything. Then he finds out, well, he was conned, and it was all a big. Yeah, he's already put it all out trying to blacken Joey. You know.
Right. So. Right. Well,
Patrick,
up with so many. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I know we don't have too much time left, and I know that there's a lot you can't say, but can you give us your opinion, your thoughts about Chase and, you know, why his motive, if he's guilty, what do you think would have been his motive? Can you tell us?
The only thing that everything that I know, it's 7 years of this, it
mm-hmm.
all comes down to me, in my opinion, and this is not, you know, I'm going to preface this by saying I have not talked to the DAs about this. I don't,
mm-hmm.
I have not talked to anybody there about any of this stuff. We don't even, I talked to an advocate, but I don't speak to the DAs or any of them. I don't want any connection, and I'm sure they don't either. Where anything can be tried to, you know, where we were in cahoots
mm-hmm.
or anything, there's no connection whatsoever. And what I'm saying or what I will say is totally my opinion, totally what I think. No one has told me anything, you know, and it's just what I feel from what I found and what I see. And it's simple. It's the age-old story, the same
mm-hmm.
old thing. It comes down to money.
Money,
He was in money trouble. He was in money trouble, and he needed money.
Yeah.
But how would killing the family do that?
And I think that I think he was going to be turned in. I think Joey had had enough of him that day, and I think that Joey told him, Joey told him that day he was going to notify the police of what was
mm-hmm.
Chase had done. And some of the things that Chase had done, and I think then Chase is already at that time a 2 or 3 time loser,
mm-hmm.
and this would have probably put him away for a long time, and I think between that and the money, that was it. He had to do away with him.
Yeah. So after that luncheon that day, he drove to Joey's house. Maybe he didn't go there with the intentions of killing him. I don't know. But he went there to try to maybe talk him out of it,
mm-hmm.
see if he could bargain with Joey some kind of way, and then things got out of hand. That's what I tend to believe. But, you know, it could be he did go there strictly to kill him and kill a whole family.
We are running out of time, and let's just talk briefly, Patrick, if you don't mind. What led to the discovery of the bodies? How did that happen?
Oh,
that was when the motorcyclist was riding in the desert on his bike, and
mm-hmm.
he came across a skull, and he called 911 that he found a human skull in the desert, and actually the sheriff's department of San Bernardino dispatched sheriffs out there, and then they got there and found it was human head, human skull, and they called in and the they brought out, you know, the forensics, and it became a crime scene. And they brought out anthropologists and,
mm-hmm.
you know, to do the digs and you know, and everything. So
that was hard.
And that's when they found all their remains.
Awful.
And that was Joey Jr.'s skull that they found. Oh.
That was so heart-wrenching.
I had nightmares
about that.
Yeah, that was absolutely
that was a tough day.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Very tough day. And also, I believe if I'm not mistaken, and maybe I've just, this is a rumor, but there were things at the site, at the crime scene, in the grave, that led to Chase. Is that correct? Or can you not say?
I'm not sure. I can tell you, what I can tell you is, from what I gather and information I've pieced together, they mm-hmm. found over 100 items in the grave.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. What all they have and how it all led to who or whatever, I don't know. I can't tell you. Mm-hmm. All I do know is that the sledgehammer was found in the graves. That's common right. knowledge. We all know that. It's been out there.
And I believe
just the time frame and the different things and the connections between yeah. Joey and I think that led them to Chase. I don't know yeah. any other way. You know,
and his phone records. His phone records.
That's something that's really, I don't want to get into it, but the phone records and pinpointing him out there on the 6th of February is very telling, and it's in the prelim. And the FBI triangulated found that. If you think about it, if they were disappeared on the 4th
mm-hmm.
and the video's on the 6th, or on the 8th, excuse me, and they triangulate and have Chase at the graveside on the 6th, how could mm-hmm. that possibly be them in the video?
Right. It was.
And you got San Bernardino yeah. to this day, or not San Bernardino, San Diego to this day, Jan Caldwell, the spokesperson for them, still saying that they believe they went to Mexico. Well, you tell me how that happened when they right. disappear on the 4th. We know the graves were there on the 6th of February, mm-hmm. 2 days later. And then 2 days after that, the video's taken at the border. And the car's found yeah. down at the border. The troopers found it.
Right.
So how in the hell were they at the border on the 8th when they were in the graves on the 6th, 100 miles
right.
north of there?
Yeah, it didn't happen.
And San Diego's still out there saying, oh, gee, they went to Mexico. We still believe they went to Mexico.
Oh, I can't believe that. I just
that's
can't.
Just awful. Patrick, the book is called McStays, Taken Too Soon, A True Story. It is available on Amazon and in Kindle as well. In the last moments of the show, is there anything you would like to say, any misconception that you want to clear up? Let's do it. The floor is yours, sir.
I really don't. The only thing that I would say in closing is, people, please understand, my son Michael absolutely loved his brother.
Yeah.
Michael had nothing to do with this, and I'm sick and tired of people trying to make him out like he's some bad person and he had something. Michael is one of the kindest people you'll ever meet. And right. I'm sick and tired of hearing him being accused of things. He's just a decent young man, and that's all there is to it. And I will go so far as to say, people have even accused my ex-wife, Susan, and with all the problems that Susan and I have had for all the years, Susan was no way involved in any of this.
Yeah.
They were just the same as me. They were just is stricken by it and hurt and lost, and they're still being affected just like I am.
Yeah.
So please get off of them. They didn't do anything.
Absolutely. And you know, something that people have to understand is when a family is in that situation and they're being interviewed, they don't have any say on what is shown or reported. You know, they talk.
Exactly.
The reporters pick up the juicy tidbits that they want to mm-hmm. sell news. So you can't just, talk about what a family says at that point and say, oh, well, she said this or she said that, and that's really suspicious. And you've just got to have some understanding and use discretion and judgment in your thinking.
Well, I will say this. I will say this. Just like a famous man says, you can't believe all of what the reporters tell you.
Right.
Boy, that's
right.
The truth.
They're not always
Absolutely.
The most honest. There are a
they
lot
do.
Of good ones, a lot of honest ones, but there are a lot
yeah.
of other ones, too.
Mm-hmm. But they pick up on the juicy quotes, and they don't, you know, they don't put the whole conversation
yep.
in context.
Nope.
Just
nope.
the standalone.
Take a paragraph and only pick out one sentence, and then that's
yeah.
the headlines.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, we will surely be looking forward.
But when you got somebody like Trish, like you said, Trish, when you got somebody out there trying to make a buck off of it, trying to get famous
mm-hmm.
off of it, trying to be in the limelight. Get their
right.
15 minutes of fame. That's what it all boils down to. And they don't
and
care.
Boy, they, can,
they could care
no,
less
they
about
don't.
Anybody's pain or hurt. Or, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
And that's why we need internet libel laws for that specific reason. But again, that's another show. Pat, go ahead.
I want people to understand something. Trish Griffith here and Bessie, for all these years, have stuck by me and worked with me and given me an outlet to voice what's going on here and what's happened. And I truly want people to understand that these are good people. And
Aww.
Web Sleuth has really been good to me. And I want
thank
everybody
you.
To know that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. That you have made my year. That is so kind of you.
Yes,
we are happy to
fine.
Help
well,
any way
truth.
We can.
Well,
you.
It's the absolute
I mean,
truth.
Pat-
so.
We had some trolls on the board, and there were times
mm-hmm. oh,
that
yeah.
you know, we allowed people to entertain certain theories.
Well, you remember,
and,
Bessie. I you remember I got
oh,
pretty
I remember.
Heated with you, too.
I know.
And I was wrong. I was wrong, but you were wrong, and I was wrong, and we were both being used by these trolls.
That's right.
Absolutely
and
right.
We were doing what we do. You know, we try to let
yeah.
people voice their opinions.
Yep.
But then we also, you know, ask for facts and try to get things straight. And,
yeah, well, you also stepped in and shut the board down when it got too crazy, and I was glad you
yeah,
did that.
I did.
Oh, yeah. It. We had to. We had to. It was just
yeah,
control.
You have to. I mean, more people need to take responsibility like you and Bessie, Trish, and,
well,
and do things.
I, and
if
I
it
agree.
Gets that big, shut it down. Yeah.
Shut it! Don't let it keep going. Don't let it keep growing. It's
like
right. a cancerous
that's
growth.
That's why
Fred,
Web Sleuth is as good
it.
As what it is, and why it's growing like it does.
Well,
thank you,
Pat.
When you
so
got
kind.
People like you and Bessie taking control of it and doing the right thing, that's what it takes.
Oh, we love you, Patrick. We love you even if you didn't say those wonderful things, but thank you. You are a sweetheart. Don't forget Patrick's book, McStay's Taken Too Soon, A True Story. You will get the truth from this book. Patrick, we will have you on again very soon. Again, we're going to post about perhaps some donation of airline points, anything that can help you.
I will tell you this. There is a second book already in the works, and it will be after it will be released after the trial,
mm-hmm.
but it will contain a lot of information.
That's the one I'm really looking forward to.
So, I don't know how I'm going to do it. It might be even two books. I don't know because there's so much information in me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to write a long book, but there'll be another one, and it will have everything in the background that was going on that we couldn't tell
yeah.
you before.
Great.
And mm-hmm. and how I determined who, you know, things and there'll be a lot more to it. I'm thinking,
right.
I'm even thinking along the lines of McStay's Taken Too Soon, too.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Make it a trilogy.
That's
make
a,
it so, you know, it's,
yeah.
it tells the story from beginning to the very end, to the end of the trial.
Right.
Of
mm-hmm.
course, it'll
to
never be over for you and your family, but yeah,
no.
I think
now
that would be wonderful.
I do have to get a little plug in here, if I can.
Okay, absolutely.
For Gina and her husband,
yeah.
Brett is the one who did that book from the cover for me. He put it all together.
The cover is gorgeous.
It is.
He did all the photography. He did everything on that. He put it all together, and Gina naturally working with him. That's her husband, and he's got a company. He's got a company over in Florida, and I forget the name, but it's Motion Picture. Forget what it is, Motion Picture Productions or Motion Picture something. But I'll let you know sometime. You can post it if you would for me. But he's the one that put all that together. I sent him the pictures. He did it all. He designed it. And, I mean, I thought the front cover with the crosses kind of ghosting in the background was beautiful. The picture that gets me the most on that is not the front cover. That gets me, but it's the back cover.
I know. Yeah. Oh, God.
That's Joey, and just over 2 years old. I was at the wedding when I married Susan. That was the day Susan and I got married. And that was Joey.
Cute picture. Everybody have to get this book. You can't put it down once you start. And you have to see these pictures. They're just beautiful. Just beautiful.
And
Patrick?
And also keep checking the forum. It's pretty quiet right now because there's just not much we can say.
Oh, yeah. We're in that limbo right now with the trial.
Yeah, we are. But we post the dates every time there's a hearing coming up. We post the dates. And
The next one, Betsy, is February 23rd at 8:30.
Right.
That
we've
one
that
we
one
may get
board.
A trial date. I'm hoping we get a trial date on that one.
Oh, that
too.
Would be so wonderful. That would be great.
Yeah, it would.
Patrick, we will have you on again very, very soon. Anytime you want, you just let us know, okay? Anything you need, do not hesitate to ask. Deal?
Well, okay, and thanks a lot. I really appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Patrick. You take care.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye. Oh, isn't he just an amazing man?
He's the tower. He's a tower of strength. I would have buried myself under the covers, you know, all this time. He's done so much.
There were issues at time with Web Sleuth where he was very upset, but understandably so. But, you know, Web Sleuth, we walk a fine line at times. We do want to be victim friendly, but first, we're a discussion forum that does our very best to be victim friendly. And I've always told family members this, don't come to Web Sleuth unless you're prepared to hear the facts, to hear the black and white, terrible, horrible facts of what happened to your loved one. And some people can take it and some people can't.
Right.
Patrick McKay certainly can take it. And he's just been a delight to know all these years. And boy, let's just hope this man gets some justice for his family. We were going to have Mark Klass on. We're going to have him on next week, okay? That's totally my fault, the scheduling snafu. But Mark Klass will be on next week. He will tell us what's going on in the case that is really so, again, another tragedy. Sierra Lamar, her body is yet to be found, but they have arrested him. Arrested a man. Looks like, in my opinion, he's the killer. We'll just call him the killer. He is on trial right now, and Mark Klass will be reporting on that trial, on everything that's going on next Tuesday at the same time. So, anyway, I think, is there anything else that we needed to do?
Nope. I think that's about it. I was concentrating on Patrick being on, so I haven't really given much thought to anything else, but I think that, there's really not much else, and I'll look forward.
I think.
And I'm sure the listeners will look forward to hearing from Mark, because there's a lot of interest in Sierra's case and her trial.
There really is. It is. And I want to mention CrimeCon really quickly. You go to Crime, CrimeCon.com. It's like Comic-Con. It's CrimeCon. Nancy Grace, F. Lee Bailey, Nermi is going to be there, our favorite attorney. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Cheryl McCollum, Web Sleuth has been invited to come and participate. I'm very honored that we've been invited. And it's going to be in Indianapolis in June. Go to crimecon.com. If you do purchase tickets, be sure and put in the word Web Sleuth, and you will get a 20% discount. And Bessie, we're going to try and bring everybody we can from Web Sleuth, because it certainly sounds like a great event, something that should have been done long ago, but they're doing it right, my friends. They really are. These people know what they're doing. It's crimecon.com. Okay, Miss Bessie, I think that wraps it up. You just go take care, and thanks again for doing all the heavy lifting and letting me sit back and put my feet up. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right. Good night, Tricia.
Good night, Bessie. Good night, everybody. See you on websleuths.com. Follow us on Twitter at websleuths, and believe it or not, Facebook at websleuths. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.